Julius Caesar will always be remembered as a Roman statesman, as a general and leader of men, and an historian, having mastered the Latin language. He was born in the year 101 BC, and we know that he met his death with the conspired assassination by Brutus and Cassius in the year 44 BC on that dreadful day, the Ides of March. Beware of the Ides of March. We always had certain exams on that day in school, and that was the sign above the door. In the year 49 BC, Julius Caesar marched his armies toward Rome. He was marching his men to Rome to restore civilization, but also to punish those who opposed his ascendancy to the throne. As his army approached the border of the Roman Empire, he gathered his legions of men on the shore of the river Rubicon. The Rubicon River divided the Roman Empire from the barbaric world. There, Julius Caesar stopped all his men. He spoke with them on that eve before they crossed. He asked his men to consider the great risk at hand, as well as the great reward that may lie ahead. He told his men that they would be fighting enemies of Rome. That's the passion of every soldier. That's easy to do. But he also told his men that they would be fighting fellow Romans, their fellow countrymen. And so that is an entirely different emotional matter when there is a civil war. It was a great moment of decision for each of his soldiers. The risks were high. He told his men they could be heroes or traitors. He asked each of his men on that eve if they could face the challenge. And he said, for those who said yes, we're going to cross in the morning toward Rome, and there will be no turning back. He said, once we cross this river, our fate will be set in motion. And thus the phrase we have today, crossing the Rubicon. In today's first reading from Joshua, we heard how Joshua gathered his tribes at Shechem, the elders, the leaders, their judges, and their officers. They stood in ranks before God, and Joshua said, if it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you serve. The gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose country you are now dwelling. Joshua said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That's a Rubicon moment for Joshua. What are your Rubicon moments in life? What are your crossings? Moments when you know your life will never be the same. Moments when the decision before you changes the entire course of your destiny. Well, when I teach young people, I pose two crossings before them. I ask them, what are you going to do in your life? The career you choose is a Rubicon moment. A more dramatic question is, with whom will I share my life? tell my students when I taught, the most important decision they will make in their life, the most important decision they will make in their life is the person whom they marry. Another Rubicon moment is to answer the question, in whom will I believe? In the gospel today, we have heard our last installment of John chapter 6. It's been a long summer with John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse. John writes in a circular fashion. It goes, in some sense, on and on and on and on, and then he arrives back where he started. Let's review a little bit of what Jesus said in the last 6 weeks. First, Jesus calls himself the bread that came down from heaven. He calls himself the bread from heaven. He said that the bread he will give is his flesh for the life of the world. He said that his flesh is true food and his blood is true drink. And he said that whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood has eternal life and will never die. In today's gospel, the people respond. What do they say? This is hard to endure, they say. Can anyone take him seriously? They start to murmur, like coffee circle murmuring. He's crazy, they thought. And what do? They start to leave him. They withdraw from his company. They quit following Jesus. And what is Jesus' response to their doubt and murmuring and departure? He doesn't say, whoa, 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 whoa. I've been misunderstood. He doesn't say, obviously, I have not been sensitive enough to you. He doesn't say, oh, I must have confused you. Let's come back and start again next week. Let me change this policy so that everybody's on board. No. He lets them go. And he said to his disciples, yet among you there are some who do not believe. We need to remember, my dear people, we need to remember, if we ever get down, if we ever feel insulted, if we ever feel like we as Christians are not being respected, our Lord said we wouldn't. Don't lose heart. Not all people believe. Not all people care what Jesus said. Many will depart. So this has got to be a dramatic scene. People start to walk away from him. And he said to the disciples, some will not believe. And it's Saint Peter. It's Saint Peter that said, Lord, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe, and we are convinced that you are God's Holy One. Saint Peter exemplified a Rubicon moment, the most dramatic Rubicon moment. In whom will you believe? Yourself? Some philosophy? Or your Savior? We too must follow his example. If you like to change your prayers in the morning, which I sometimes like to do, to keep them fresh with the readings we hear, this week, and perhaps in weeks to come, your short morning prayer can be as simple as, Lord, where am I going to go? I have come to believe, I am convinced that you are God's Holy One. And as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.